Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to church this morning and to worship. I don't even like to say church because we're here for a whole greater purpose than just that. We're here to worship the King. And as you are, if you're a guest with us today, thanks for being here and just being brave enough to walk into a new place. And we want to make you feel welcome, so please do that. And you're part of our family already. If you're joining us online, thanks for signing in this morning and keeping up with everything that's going on. Just one quick announcement. Tonight we get back into the routine. We started last week, but really full throttle tonight here at the Southwest. Adult classes, stuff for youth, teenagers, and children. And so Ashley, our children's pastor, is right over there, and she can give you some information about that or come see me afterwards. I start at 5:30, and Ashley, what time? 5 o'clock, and so be here for that. And so just glad that you're here. And as you are today, we're continuing talking about the way to follow Jesus. And today is all about receiving His vision for your life. And what does that mean, and how does that look? It's different for all of us, but the one thing that is the constant, it's all from God. And that's how we come together as the body of Christ. So you may say right now, I've never had a vision. Well, my thought process is it's time. And I'm going to start talking about how that can happen and become a reality in your life. Because Scripture says, and if you know it, just say it out loud, without vision, the people will perish. That's exactly right. So we need a vision. We need to see where God's calling us. Not just as the body of Christ, as a congregation, but each of our individual lives. So Lord God, as we come today to worship You, Lord, I always say, I don't know what gets us here, Lord, what our own agendas are, but Lord, I pray that it would become Your agenda. Lord, that Your influence, Your Holy Spirit would fill us and change us and transform us today to follow You. Lord, to look and see where You are leading and where You are going so we can come alongside of You and, Lord, do what You are doing, Lord, to change the world. Let it be true for adults, let it be true for young adults, let it be true for teenagers and children. Father, it doesn't matter who we are, where we've come from, what our ages are, or our experience. The call is to follow You. The call is to be with You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and we ask these things to happen in our lives today. And if you'll agree with that, you'll say amen. Amen. And we'll see. Before we sing this next song, I just with your heads bowed for just a moment, I just think there's some real needs in here this morning that are beyond just what we would offer up in a prayer request in Sunday school or online, and I really don't know what those are, but boy, it's just super pressing on my own heart and spirit this morning, and so just with your heads bowed, truly, if that's you, would you just raise your hand and just, I can't see you, but the Lord can, but just to have that acknowledgement of a need that's in your life. And so for those that have raised their hand, just know that that the Lord is here and the Lord wants to do something in your life and to really bring transformation. And that's the vision we have for our community of faith here, is that we would be sensitive and caring to each and every one of us and all of the things that go on in our lives. That we would share our lives together. And the Lord wants that, and He wants to bring healing into your life. I think there's some critical things going on today. And so just as we sing and as we worship, I just pray that you just lift your heart to Him. If you don't know the words, don't worry about it. Just pray and just sing in a spirit of attitude, of thanksgiving and grace, and receive that mercy that He has for you. And if you want to, I mean, we're going to have prayer time in a minute, but just come see me afterwards, to come see Dallas or Ashley or anybody, just to communicate what's going on in your life, if just for more prayer. Lord God, just I don't want to just come every Sunday or any time just to gather because we say that we are the church. Lord, I want to come with a great expectation that You're going to move in our life. Lord, that there's not a particular order of how things are supposed to go every day. There's not a particular sequence of how we're supposed to sing and pray and take up an offering, Lord, and hear your word. But, Father, that we would just be sensitive to how you're moving. Lord, let us open ourselves up to that. Let us open ourselves up to you in this very moment. By the way, speaking of being around when things go awry around here, or when the reality of our humanity shows up, how many of y'all know we play pickleball on Wednesday night? Some of you do, some of you don't, but we do on Wednesday night. It's a lot of fun. It's gotten kind of crowded, but we take turns, and it's really a great time to be together, and it's mostly people that are from outside the church that are coming, and so I like that. That was the whole purpose. But if you think your pastor is holier than thou, you should have been here this week. Do I need to say any more? for some of y'all that know me, y'all can just imagine how that happens. And I tend to throw pretty good fits when things don't go my way. And so that happened this week. So if you like to be entertained, why don't y'all come this week and you can play pickleball with us. You don't have to be on my team, by the way. And if you think I'm bad, you ought to see Dallas. That's true. That's true. Well, you're not as strong as I am, so that's just the way that is. See, I told y'all would like to be in the back rooms. So how many of you think that, we're kind of going out of order today, and y'all just bear with me, but how many of you think that your life is a little distracted, it's a little chaotic, and you wish there was some more order to it? How many of you think that wouldn't it be nice to have a rhythm of being able to draw closer to God, where you just kind of know what you need to do and how you need to do it and when you need to do it to draw closer to God? Wouldn't that be nice? And also, if there was just consistency in your life of how you do those things. I think for me, that's probably, that would be my first goal for all of us, is whether you just prayed once a day, or you prayed 10 times a day, or you read the Bible however many, whatever it is, but instead of doing it, I pray. Oh, when do you pray? Well, every Monday at 3 o'clock. I would say, well, let's do it every day at 3 o'clock. Or, I read a whole chapter of the Bible once a month. I'd say, well, let's read a little bit of the Bible every day, but just more consistency. And if that's what you're looking for, then Jesus has answers for that. And if you want to think about that, I want you to see that this quote from Dallas Willard talks about this discipleship, this factor that we're going to dive into today. He says, "The greatest issue facing the world today, with all of its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who by profession or culture are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him," did you hear that word? "Steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence." I don't believe any of us don't want to be like Jesus. I just believe most of us really don't have the consistent pattern of life to be like Jesus. I don't think that we don't even not know how to be like Jesus. I think we just don't have a this vision of how to do that and how to carry out our life. I also think that we need to have a new formation in our life of how to do that. And especially in our modern world, in our modern day, that things are changing so quickly, rapidly, and there's the one thing that's constant is change. And how do we live into that change every day? I was talking recently to a gentleman. He worked for an artificial intelligence company in California, and he said that it's nearly, for him, in the cutting edge technology, in a company that's on the forefront of the cutting edge technology of artificial intelligence, he said it's really almost impossible for them to keep up. Things change so rapidly. So how do we do this? How do we live in this society that's getting quicker and faster and more chaotic by the moment? Losers, I just lost everything. And when we do that, and you think about going into that every day, how do you prepare yourself for that? Let me get back to us really quickly. I apologize. There we go. So think about what Jesus said. I mean, there's lots of routines, lots of studies, lots of avenues, lots of paths in life. But yet Jesus said, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We have an answer of how to do these things. The question is, what processes do we go through to do these things? What do we need to do daily, right, to follow Jesus in this way? And most of us already have something formed in our lives. You already have a routine, whether you know it or not. Some of you have heard of spiritual disciplines. Some of you have heard of spiritual formation. And let me tell you, you may be saying to yourself right now, well, I don't follow a spiritual discipline. I don't have a routine of formation. Yes, you do. You just may not know it, and it may just need to be reformed, right? You need to have a reformation, right? It scares me to say the word reformation, because then we automatically go back to history and terrible things that happened. We automatically go to theology that's not good. So I just want to say to reform, to remold, reshape what's going on in your life to look more like Jesus, to be more like Jesus, and to act out more like Jesus. Because Jesus is making a statement. He's saying that he's casting a vision, not just that he himself, his physical body is the way, because he's talking about, I am God, I am the way, but he's talking about his method. He's talking about his mode of life. He's talking about his life story. He's talking about how he lives. He's showing us a way to live the way that he's calling us to do that. And so what I want to talk about today is the first thing is this vision that God wants for us and how he wants to cast that into your life. There's not much of what I'm going to say today. Most of it's scripture, and you're going to love that. And when we talk about this scripture, I'm just going to give you a few key points out of each passage. This is all out of Acts chapter 10. This is two people of the Bible. This is a man named Cornelius, and one that you know a little more familiar to you is Peter. And as they're having these visions, I want you to think about their backgrounds. I want you to think about their lives, and I want you to think about how God's talking to them in the same way that God would talk to you. Because both of these people, you just, I don't know if you realize the lyrics that you were singing. One of the lyrics was that Jesus is writing our story, or God is writing our story, Jesus is writing our story, out of our wrongs, out of the things that we don't have right. I don't know if you were here last week or the week before when I said we're all going to be surprised when we get to heaven and Jesus tells us, or we realize, I don't think this is how it's going to go, but when we realize maybe we're like, oh man, did I have that wrong. What I want to do, my joke was, I just want to be over the 40% mark, amen? I just want to make sure I got at least 40% of it right, and that God will take care of all the rest. Why I pick 40, I don't know, that sounds like a good number. But really, so let's look at Acts chapter 10. Would y'all back there on the computer follow along so I can just read? Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision and an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius! And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. What I want you to see is here's a man that is what we in the scripture call a Gentile. He was not of the Jewish faith. He was not in the Jewish culture. He was not a Jew. He was not born of the Jewish family. So he was totally outside the Jewish culture. And that's important for Scripture because in this day and time, the Jewish culture, the Jewish people, the people of Israel, right, the chosen of God, they were the ones that had all the answers, and they were the ones in their own heart and mind had the preferential treatment from God. And so anybody outside of that was just lost. But here's a man who, after Jesus' death and resurrection, after somebody's witness and testimony, after hearing about him, he came to faith in Christ. And so he's living out his faith. It says that he was devoted. He feared God. He gave alms. He gave tithes. He helped the Jewish people. He helped in the ministry. He helped with the poor. He did all of those things. And clearly, he prayed. It says, while in the ninth hour, which would have been a time that he would have been praying, he had a vision. So for us, this is a lifestyle that we're already hearing about. Somebody that's not necessarily in the tradition of faith, but somebody that's a Christian. Okay? We're going to talk about that idea of being a Christian here in a moment. Regardless of his social status, regardless of his cultural status, he's still being talked to by God. It seems to me that his faithfulness, here it is. It seems to me that his faithfulness, regardless of what everybody else said or thought about him, got the attention of God. Is your faithfulness going to get the attention of God? The easiest way for me to say that. That's probably some terrible theology, and we could talk about that one-on-one. But I do believe that our faithfulness does portray ourselves to God in certain ways. And so, and really, I even said it in prayer time this morning. Young Cohen was walking through the hallway, and we snatched him to come in and pray with us. Actually, he walked into the wrong door, I think, and we brought him into the prayer. And even at Cohen's age, Cohen, how old are you? How old is he? 10? Glad I asked. I was going to say 9. So 10, right? Even at 10 years of age, God uses us. 10 years, 20 years, 50, 90. Whether you've been in the church all your life or today's your first day to walk in any church door, right? Whether you're a devoted, mature Christian or whether you're an infant, immature Christian, right? It doesn't matter. Right here, God is saying it doesn't matter. And then Acts 10, starting in verse 9, to continue on. On the next day, as they were on their way, right, Cornelius sent these people to go find Peter. Peter went up on a housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Here we go. He's praying. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. Isn't that a nice way to say that you're hungry? I desire to eat today. No, I'm starving. Somebody feed me. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, while somebody was cooking for him, he fell into a trance and he saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord. For I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time. "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened 3 times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Here is a devoted Jew, a devoted disciple of Jesus. This is the guy on which Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Upon this rock, this steady rock that Peter had in his faith, Christ was going to build his church. What are the similarities between the two people? What are the differences? They're all over the place. But absolutely, in God's eyes, and this is what I want to know about us, he didn't care. And there are no differences. There's no difference between me and you. There's no difference between Dallas and me. There's no difference between Ashley and any of you. There's no difference between back to Cohen, age 10, and me in God's eyes. He's just looking for people that are devoted. He's just looking for people that are willing. He is just looking for people that he can cast a vision to, and they will live out that vision. "Why have I never gotten a vision, Lord?" Because maybe the Lord knows that you're not going to do anything with it, right? That's hard, but it's true. Especially, just think about in your young life when you had an idea of what you wanted to do in life, and you had this great vision, Okay, I'm thinking about all these young 20-somethings right here on the second row. Sorry, not the first row. Y'all wish. Right? Now then, y'all close your eyes and don't look around, because how many of your visions for what your life was going to be like actually came true? There's only a couple. Right? Because things change. But when God gives us a vision, He just wants us to go step by step. God doesn't always give us a vision for everything that's going to happen in life. He doesn't show us the very end result. He just shows us the next step. He might cast the vision all the way out, but then He might reel it back in and say, okay, I've given you a glimpse, but now let's start here, and let's go here, and then let's go here. But sometimes I think I don't get those visions because He knows that I'm not going to take the first step. He knows that I'm not going to follow. He knows that I'm going to be a little bit like this second one, this guy named Peter, and start questioning, which we'll get to in just a minute. Both were God's children, equally capable, equally loved. But here's the thing, is that both of them had opportunity. I want you to think about your life for just a minute, right now. Where are the opportunities for God to work in your life? Your school, your jobs, your families, your neighbors, your friends, your hobbies, your enemies, your education, your training. I don't know what it is. There's nobody in here that doesn't have an opportunity to do this. There's nobody in here or online or that will ever hear this that doesn't have an opportunity for God to work in your life. The question is, will you allow it? Because opportunity comes in Acts 10, 17 through 23. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate, and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. Okay? They had the vision. Remember, think about this. God told them exactly where to go. I don't know how big this town was, but I doubt seriously there was another tanner in the business of tanning hides that was named Simon in that town, but yet they were questioning where they should go, okay? We all question, okay? But yet, as they were staying there, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, hey, there's three guys looking for you, but get up, go downstairs, and accompanying them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Peter went down to the men and said, I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of all the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in. He gave them lodging. On the next day, he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa also accompanying him. See, they had opportunity. They had these visions. They had these ideas of what God was doing, and they were just listening to God. They were going step by step. But then here comes the hard part. Here comes the obedience. And I know this seems so elementary. Well, we have a vision, right? We have opportunity to carry and cast out this vision, to cast it into the world and to follow it. And then we have this obedience. I'll point out in my own life, here's where the rubber meets the road. And here's where I think all of us have a little bit of trouble, right? This is, again, this is Peter. This is this guy that we know all the things about. Forget that he was the guy that had all the faith that Jesus was going to build the church on. But think about this. Peter was the guy that walked on water. Peter was the guy that denied Jesus. And Peter was the guy that Jesus brought back in, reconciled, forgave, and brought him back in and really told him to go and do a lot of things for the church. I mean, Peter's the guy when it comes to faithfulness. Peter's the guy that you could give a task to and you would make sure it's going to get done. But what does Peter do? As soon as God in this vision says, go and do these things, what does Cornelius do? Cornelius gets up, he goes and finds his people, he explains it, and he says, go. This is the guy that's the newer Christian. This is the guy that's newer to the faith. This is the guy that's not been in church all of his life. This is the guy that's not a part of the culture. This is the guy that's not one of the chosen according to the Jewish faith. But yet he hears God and he says, yes, sir. And he goes and he does it. He's excited about it. He goes and he explains it to all of his friends that are there at the house. He calls one of his soldiers. He says, go with these guys and go do this thing that God has told us to do. But when it comes to the great Christian Peter, he says, now, wait a minute, God. I don't know that I want to do this. I've never done anything like this. You're telling me to do something totally different. You're telling me to do something we've never done in our faith before. You're telling me to do something that's really uncomfortable, and I don't think I want to do it. Anybody that guy besides me? Yeah, that's the thing. The one with faith says, by no means, Lord. And yet God's saying, would you just go do this? Peter's like, no way. Not going to do it. And he tells him how many times? Three times. He shows him the vision and he talks to him. He shows him the vision and he talks to him. He shows him to the vision and he talks to him. And finally, what Peter does is what does it say when the guys show up to come get him? He's still questioning. He's still trying to figure it out. He's still asking what this really means. Why in the world do we live this way? That's what I want to talk to you about, vision. Why do we ask for something and then when we get it, we go, I'm just not really sure. How many of you ever go to the doctor and they tell you exactly what's wrong, you have a broken bone, they show you on the x-ray, and then you go, I'm just not sure that's true. Are you sure that this is a broken bone? I mean, I see that it's flopped over on the side and part of it's sticking out of my skin, but are you sure? Are you sure that I need to put it in a cast? Because, I don't know, I think we just need to put some duct tape on it and call it good, right? Some of you men just went, yeah, duct tape. Fixes everything. Why do we do that? Why do we only do it in certain situations? Why do we only do it with God? Why do we only do it in our faith? Why don't we just say, yes, Lord, and get up and go? I think Peter's trying to show us, God's trying to show us, and Cornelius is trying to show us there's a way to live in the way of Christ. There's a way to get to where God wants us to be. I think that the way we question everything, we do need to ask questions, but it's different than questioning the one who's giving us the advice, the one who's giving us the direction. It's not the really why, it's more of the why. Why would you want me to do this? Why would I need to go to a Gentile's house? Why would I need to go someone that's not like me? Why would I need to go pray with someone that I don't even like? Why would I go somewhere that's not even a place where I would want to be caught dead? That's pretty much what's happening to Peter, by the way. He's having to go to a place that he's really not allowed to go by Jewish law, into a Gentile's house. But yet he does, because that's what God has called him to do. How many of you have children and you would love for them just to do what you tell them to do? Right? How many of you have a spouse that, oh no, let's don't do that. my Siri is a British accent. Anybody have the British accent guy? A few of us do. And you probably have all different reasons why, and this is a very stereotypical reason I'm about to say, and somebody's going to give me a hard time, but I think that the reason I have the British accent, and people always go, why do you have a British accent for your Siri? I said, well, because I like to think of it like, and I was like back in old England, and this is one of my butlers or servants or helpers or whatever, and Siri does everything I tell it to do. Amen? It's fantastic. I just said I wish everybody else in my life would do that too, right? I really miss being a police lieutenant where I just said, go, and they said, yes, sir, and they did it, right? They didn't question. Well, they didn't always not question, but they didn't question. They just did it because guess why? Because they believed that I knew what I was doing. Just, did you hear me? They believed that I knew what I was doing and that I had their best interests at heart or everybody else's, and that was their job. Don't you think Jesus thinks the same thing about us just a little bit? I know he does me. I know every time that he calls me to do something, and I want to talk to him about why. I want to talk to him about how it works out. I just really, I mean, I'm not making this up for the sermon. This is the way I really think, and I see it. When I go, okay, Lord, can we talk about this? I think he just goes, oh, if he wore glasses, he just goes, oh, my gosh. Can y'all see George Costanza from Seinfeld doing this at the cafe table? Like just going, oh, God, do we have to do this again? Right? And yet, I know he has my best interest at heart. When he gives me a vision, I know that it's from him because his visions are never my visions. Let me just tell you, his vision for my life was never any of this. His vision for my life was never, not because I don't like you, but was to not ever know any of you. Right? His vision for my life was never to have a family. His vision for my life was never, these are all these things that were going through my head. And so when he starts telling me these things, I'm like, okay, can we talk about this for just a minute? And as we talked about it, I believe that this is what happens. As we act it out. See, there's faith is by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. But believing is one thing. Acting it out and following Jesus is totally another. He's not looking for just believers, because now this is just coming to me. Thank you, Lord. He's not looking for just believers, because even the demons believe. Amen? I mean, even the demons believe in Jesus. He's looking for people that are going to follow him and act it out. Acts 24 through 29, and I'll wrap up with this. On the following day, he entered Caesarea, the city. Now Cornelius is waiting for them, and he had called together. Think about this. Remember? Cornelius is new. I mean, he's called together friends and relatives. He goes, hey, God sent me to get this guy. You got to come over. You got to see what's about to happen. And when Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him, and he fell and he worshiped Peter. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. And he talked with him. He entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. Yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I asked, for what reason have you sent for me? Here's the last thing. How come when somebody says that we are set apart, when somebody says you're a Christian, you act differently, why do you act this way? When somebody gives you a compliment about who you are and how you act, why is it that we don't point to Jesus? Why is it that we say, no, I'm just like you, don't worry about it? Why is it that we dismiss the Lord? Why is it that we don't point everyone to Jesus in every action of our life? Because that's really what God's calling Peter to do. And so he goes in this house and he preaches. He teaches. He gives them the gospel of the good news, not a sermon. He just tells them about Jesus' life. God is not asking you to preach a sermon to your neighbor. I mean, if your neighbor wanted to hear a sermon, if your friends wanted to hear a sermon, if the world really just all they wanted was a sermon, we wouldn't have buildings big enough, right? What they want to see is you living like Jesus. They want to see you living it out. And we'll talk about that over the next few weeks. It takes Peter a minute to get to the point, but he finally figured out what God was saying, and this is where the vision comes in. Everyone is welcomed by God. Nobody's excluded. And how can you be that person that's invitational? How can your life invite people into the kingdom? I would love for you to invite them to church. Yes, I would really rather you invite them into the kingdom. And then because they see how you live and they see how you act and they see your families, then they want to figure out what you're doing, and then maybe they'll come to worship. Maybe they'll come and be a part of the community. But finally, here's what happens when you live that way. Here's what happens when you get a vision. Here's what happens when you have the opportunity. And here's really what happens when you're obedient. Acts 10, 44 through 48. And this is where this obedience comes in, and really where the practice, where the rubber meets the road. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message, all the circumcised believers who came with Peter. They were even amazed, right? All the people who even knew God, who even knew Jesus, they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for those to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. It just happened. Peter wasn't looking for a vision, and I don't mean that you don't ask God to change your life, but don't go to God asking for a vision. Just go to God being a part of his life. Go to God being a follower of Jesus, and the vision comes. The transformation happens because God knows you. Now we're going to back into this. God knows you have the opportunity, so he will give you a vision. But you can't hear the vision, you can't see the vision if you're not talking to him, if you're not with him, if you're not in the place where he's doing ministry, if you're not in the place of work, of where he is working. If you're not praying, if you're not reading, if you're not talking, how in the world can we ever know what God wants us to do? How in the world can your life ever be changed? If you're leaving out any of those steps, it will never happen. If you're leaving out obedience, you're not going to get a vision. If you don't have the opportunity, if you're not putting yourself in a place where it can take place, you're not going to be able to be obedient because you're not ever going to be there. And you're certainly not ever going to get the vision if you don't have that faith in where God can trust you. So, if you're not following the way of Christ, then maybe, I thought about not ending this way because I didn't want to end on a negative note, but maybe it'll make you think this week. If you're not following the way of Jesus, then maybe you're in the way of Jesus. I heard somebody groan. It's true. I think about this all the time. This is my new way of thinking. If I'm not following the way of Jesus, then somewhere I'm in the way of Jesus, and I need to not be that person. I need to not be in the way of what God wants to do. I don't want to be the one that prevents you or anybody else from knowing who Jesus is. Now, it was entertaining, by the way, when this happened. It is humorous. But as the other person on the other side of the room that was fairly new, they hadn't figured it out yet. And so when they were on this side of the room and this happened, and actually now you're going to know my personality, I still beat them with a broken paddle and I let them know that I beat them with a broken paddle. The whispers started happening on this side of the room when they were giving me a hard time. And then I could immediately tell when they figured out that I was the pastor of the church, because their whole face changed. And that's not what I want. I do want to be set apart. I do want to be holy. I do want to be different. And the same for all of you. But I don't want anything to stand in the way of somebody looking at me like Peter said himself. I am set apart. I am different. But I am just like you. I need to know the way of Jesus just like you do. Right? Now, I don't need to throw temper tantrums, okay? But how can you be that person for somebody this week? Today, maybe, when you go back to work tomorrow, when you go back to school tomorrow, because lives are never going to change until you are obedient to the Lord to help change their lives. Not forcing them, just showing them the way. That's who I want us to be. I want us to be different in the world. So that's going to be my prayer over you today. It's going to be a scary prayer. It's going to be really long. Are you ready? Lord God, transform us. Give us a vision. Show us the opportunities. And Lord, most of all, teach us. Give us the power, the tools, and the resources to be obedient. Because that's when lives will change. The Holy Spirit will move in people's lives. People will be baptized. people will come to faith in you. Salvation will come to them, and as Scripture says, even at times to their whole household. It's not ever going to happen without us. So, Lord, use us. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place today following the way of Jesus, looking for His way in your life that He's revealing to you, and be obedient as He gives you the vision and the opportunity. And all the people said, amen, amen. Hope to see y'all tonight, 5 o'clock and at 5:30.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.